Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean, in a place that never sees sunshine. Danny, how are you, man?
I'm enjoying the sunshine.
It's like rain every day. We're going to have crazy skyrocketing prices for anything that deals with farming. I hope you don't like food.
Exactly. Well, it's luckily, like, I live in, like, California, so we still get our produce and stuff year-round, so we don't have to worry about you, like, the foreigners in different states. That's your problem. That's a you problem.
Foreigners. That's funny.
So, I feel like a true goer, because we're recording at 11:30 in the morning my time, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so I figured it would be appropriate that I got a beer that had the word basically for Spanish for alcoholic in the title, or drunk.
Nice.
Leche Borracho from Bottlelogic. It's a barrel-aged imperial stout that's brewed with ancho peppers, cinnamon, cacao nibs, and milk sugar, lactose sugars aged in tequila and bourbon barrels.
Nice.
Comes in at like 11.7% for a healthy thing on a Sunday morning.
It's just so funny because I'm just like, you could have one of those and have like, or you could have like four Bud Lights. Like which
and,
one?
And exactly, and with this one, I'll actually enjoy the taste.
Yeah, you enjoy the taste and you get shit face and you only have to drink one beer. It's a win.
I mean, granted, it probably is more expensive. Not is more, but it was more expensive than buying the four Bud Lights, but, you know,
sometimes,
quality versus quantity.
Exactly. You're not in high school anymore. Get over
no.
your shit.
So, we forgot to mention at the top of the show, Sean, you're on a field trip.
I am. I am on a field trip.
Have you had time to go any place fun on your field trip or just for work?
I went to the movies.
Nice.
That was always fun. I did check out a brewery, though. And there's a couple, like, random food places. So.
Where are you exactly? I forgot.
I am outside of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love.
Nice. Like close enough that you could go there or, like, far enough away that where, like, you can still say you're outside of it but not really count?
Technically, my hotel is in New Jersey, so I'm in hell, basically, depending on who you talk to.
Pretty much, well, everybody except for the people that live in New Jersey. Well, everybody except for, like, maybe a small percentage of people that live in New Jersey.
True.
So we'll say you're in hell.
True. I should go to Atlantic City one of these days, just to really get into there. Go to the bottom pit of hell.
Exactly.
But I am close enough to Philly to make, like, a trip, so.
I know there's quite a few breweries out there that are rather delicious.
True. So far, so good. I've been trying to only drink things I've never heard of that reside in the tri-state area, so.
Nice. I might have to, like, do some research and maybe send you some pickups so when we meet up in Denver, you can bring me things.
Fair enough. So what I have, Danny, is a raspberry tart ale from Troegs Independent Brewing. Troegs? I don't even know how to say it. T-R-O-E-G-S.
Troegs.
So it's a raspberry tart ale brewed with raspberry, sea salt, and coriander. It's a... It's pretty fantastic. I mean, It looks like they did put in some crazy yeast in here to try to give it a little bit of a sour taste, but it's not overly aggressive.
Nice.
And you get like a very clean, you get like a very salty raspberry taste, so it's pretty delicious.
Yeah, I was at a Bottlelogic yesterday to pick up a couple bottles, and I had one of their beers called Pele Punch, mm-hmm. and it was a tart beer with fruit and stuff in it, and it was one of those things where the first couple drinks were super tart, but as you drank it more and more, mm-hmm. your tongue got used to the tart, and you could start tasting the fruit, and it was a rather delicious beer.
Gotcha. I actually finally signed up for Untappd because I was hoping that I could just like start like tagging everything I drink because it's too hard to remember shit these days.
Yes, that's why I started doing it, and then the like OCD completionist in me started collecting badges, and that I started, you know, getting the urge to get more badges.
What are you, a Pokemon master trying to catch badges?
Yes. I gotta catch them all, man.
Gotta catch them all.
Instead of the newest legendary, it's that rare whale from Bottle Logic I gotta go get.
Poor you. I did go to Spellbound Brewing in Mount Holly, New Jersey. So, I had two of their beers. I had the Peach IPA, Sir Daniel, which was really pleasant. It had like a really solid peach flavor with their IPA. It is an American IPA. I think I downed that pint pretty quick. It was just pretty fantastic. And then I also had, where is it on my stupid app? Living the Dream Bourbon Barrel. It's a stout. And oh my god, Danny, I've never had a stout that was so smooth, because it's like, it's 11.5%, so you know it's gonna hit you, you know, when you take a sip, so you get like that, you get that, you know, imperial stout. But as I was drinking it, I noticed, because they gave you like the little small pour, whatever, what is it, 8 ounces? 10 yes. ounces? So they give you like the little glass. And I was like, wow, this is, like, way smooth. It actually won in 2017, it won an award for, in the aging barrel contest. So, I mean, I could see why they won an award for it. I think they got second place in the category, but, I mean, I don't know what beat it, but I would love to try it. Because this thing is just a regular bourbon barrel imperial stout that I could only imagine what the other one was. The other thing that kind of sucks though, Danny, is this one, they actually had an anniversary party and they put it in Canadian maple barrels. So I was like, you know, I see the banner and I'm just like, they probably don't have this, but I'm going to be an optimistic and try to order it. And they're like, yeah, we're out of that. I was like, fair enough. I bet it was delicious.
It sounds delicious.
Like we were saying like the other day, like, man, the stouts and the porters, they've just done so much, like, they're so fun to drink. It's always like a good one-off to like change the pace when they throw in the vanilla, the coffee, and the other different flavors that they add. I don't think reset your palate is the correct term, but it's just like a nice, like, when you just want to have like a nice dark rich beer, it just always satisfies. Like, you know, you're getting hit with like 8, 9, 10, 11% alcohol, and you got like this dark nutty flavors going into your mouth. It's just beautiful.
Right. Definitely, man. Like, when you get one of those like beers where you just, it, you know, a lot of people are, I guess, scared off by the dark beers because they think they're going to be harsh, and they're more attuned to drinking the light beers. And it's like, actually, most of the dark beers are easier to drink than some of the, especially the IPAs.
That is fair.
So Destiny came out with some new content, Sean, as our resident Destiny expert.
More Destiny. So last Tuesday, or I guess two Tuesdays ago, when this show gets released on June 10th, Destiny released the new season, as Season of the Opulence. And so we find out that our nice big king of the enemies is asking us to come handle a little situation that he has on his ship. So they're, one of the new things that they did, Danny, is they released the raid same day as the update, which is the first time it's ever happened. And they put on certain power handicaps, so that way if you beat it in 24 hours, you got a special emblem as your prize. So the thing that's kind of going on right now, though, about it is that the only people that seem to be able to beat it on the first 24 hours are a bunch of PC people. There was only one console team that beat the new raid in the first 24 hours. So
I know there was a lot of, I read there was a lot of like drama on Reddit and different places about how the console community was saying that the raid was too hard, and then the PC community was shouting back, "Get good, scrubs."
Yeah, I mean, something's going on with it, though. I mean, one team, it just doesn't make any sense that one team out of, like, 123 teams was a console. So,
that part kind of sucks.
So, with the expansion pack, Danny, they released a new game mode. It's you team up with five other guardians, and you jump into the ship, and you go through, and you have to complete a couple puzzles, and you have to kill a boss at the end. It's called the Menagerie. One of the things, though, Danny, is what they did is you get this chalice, and you put ruins in it, and based off the combination that you put in, you could get an item that you're actually looking for. So, like, you can, if you're looking for, you need boots to level up, or you're trying to go after a good roll on your boots because you want like heavy ammo finder perk on it, you could do the Menagerie, and as long as you have the right combo, you could keep getting boots. So that way you could grind a little bit easier for the thing that you're trying to go for, which has been received very positive in the community, that they really like how this system works. There's still a grind, but it's not like a ridiculous grind where you're going to have to like wait forever to try to get the boots that you're looking for, or maybe a certain gun.
Okay.
Crown of Sorrows, it was the new raid that we were kind of talk about. So this past weekend, I was able to try it out. It's a pretty fun raid. It is probably closer to a raid lair from one of the other seasons, not like a full like raid. So that was a little bit it's just because of the size of the raid. But once they like removed the handicap, you could really tell like, hey, you could really go through a lot of the raid. We got to the first phase of the main boss, but we weren't able to beat it. We had a couple people that were too under light, so we're jumping back into it tonight and hopefully getting our first clear. So I'm super excited about that. So there is some more news, though. So per like Bungie style, they like to release stuff before E3 to kind of talk about the new year. So a couple big things that are going on is Destiny New Light. So starting on September 17th, you will be able to get Destiny and all the year one content for free, and you'll be able to get some of the perks from year two as well for free. You could just jump into the game and start playing.
How do you feel about that? I know a lot of people were unhappy. I know people were demanding like refunds online for it.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me because like all the year one content is obsolete. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason.
Right, basically they're going to be playing with all the free-to-play players anyways, as opposed to, like, getting in your way.
Yeah, nobody does the first raid or the two raid layers from year one. Nobody. Nobody goes collecting any of the equipment. Hell, even some of the exotic quests nobody, like, uses anymore. So to me, I think it doesn't really make sense to be upset about it. The content is, like, 2 years old now. Like, you know, this is to try to get more people into the game, and so that way they don't feel so far behind. So that way we could keep increasing the player count, you know. And so to me, it doesn't bother me at all. I could see why people are mad because they paid for it, but we paid for it so we could have it first thing, not, you know, 2 years later. So
when it's obsolete, yeah. It's like, you know, in any game where at some point, any online game like that, where at some point the content becomes obsolete and nobody does it, because Square Enix kind of does a similar thing where it's like, if you buy this new expansion, you get, like, the base game free, basically, you know, if you want it. And it's like, oh, I paid for the base game full price. It's like, that was like 6 years ago, dude. Chill.
Yeah. And what they did, though, is if you buy the new expansion pack, you could get, you could pay for the new expansion pack, which is $35, and you'll get Destiny and the Year One content for free right when you buy it. So you could start leveling up. And then, obviously, you could buy the Forsaken and the Year Two season pass to get more stuff. So basically, that's kind of like the big news is that, you know, the new light is happening, and then the new content is called Shadowkeep. So we're going back to the moon, Danny. We're taking it back from the Hive. So it sounds like Aaron Morris is back from Destiny 1, and some shit's been happening on the moon. The moon is going to be twice the area that you could explore and patrol in, is twice the size of the moon in Destiny 1, which was already kind of a big area, so this place is going to be pretty huge. And we're going to have to fight nightmares and different stuff from our past. So I think there's a couple big bosses that have been, like, taken or something, or this new kind of hybrid enemy that we're going to have to go after, which is going to be pretty interesting, because I always love the Hive, because they feel like they are truly, truly evil. You know what I mean? Like, everybody else just seems to be trying to survive. Maybe the Vex is kind of evil, too, in their, you know, Terminator ways, but I just feel like the Hive and the Taken are just true, like, enemies of the light and true enemies against humans.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, if you find an enemy that you like, you want him to bring it back? Or new enemies that are similar or just as evil?
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, it'll be, I don't think, I know when they did the Taken, they, like, basically reskinned all the enemies and gave them different buffs, but I think we're going to get actual new enemies. I think some of the bosses are going to get reskinned with some abilities from what it looks like.
That reminds me. I saw a horrible meme that made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like somebody comes up, walks up to a person, and there was an empty chair next to him, and it's like, oh, hey, can I sit here? And their person was like, I'm sorry, this chair is taken. And then they showed the chair, and they had that, like, stupid ghost effect thing that the Taken in Destiny has hovering over it.
I mean, it is bad, but I mean, at least it's funny.
Right. I mean, it's one of those that's like, all right, I understand. I admit that it's horrible, and I'm a horrible human being because I laughed at it, but you did get me to laugh, so you win.
Exactly.
You win this round, sir.
So, a little bit of remaining news from Destiny. One of the big things that the team announced, that starting on September 17th, that there was going to be cross-platform saves. So, it seems like if you buy the game on PS or Xbox or PlayStation, and then you buy it on another one to play with your friends, you could use the same character. So, that's going to be pretty big. And then they also announced that they are going to putting Destiny on Steam and Stadia. I know Stadia is supposed to be like the Google gaming thing.
It's basically a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to necessarily have like the processor power or the memory.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with Stadia is like if you are streaming at the highest capability, which is 4K, and about a little over 60 hours, you'll use a terabyte of data. Which, you know, if you have unlimited usage, and even then it's bullshit because unlimited isn't unlimited. They just don't stop you. They just throttle it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you have, like, data caps on your ISP, if you play a game a month, if you don't watch Netflix or any other, like, streaming service, then you're going to run into your cap. But if you play a game and use Netflix and stuff, then you're screwed because you're just going to end up paying overages all the time.
It's kind of interesting that you kind of said that, because that was kind of the interview that you sent me. Kind of, they talked about, you know, part of the future and how, you know, that's going to be happening. The interview with Phil Spencer.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, they talked about, you know, where is gaming going to be in 5 years? And it is a very interesting question, because, and I think, you know, gaming companies, I think, are trying to get to all digital, getting away from the disc and stuff. You know, how do we fight the internet companies not to be such douchebags so we could, you know, do this kind of stuff? Because it sounds like gaming companies want to go to this streaming online stuff.
Right, especially when you have, you know, people in the government that don't even understand that the iPhone is different than Google. Like, Google isn't the iPhone. How could my son go on this thing and search for something? And it's like, that has nothing to do with the phone. That, like, you can do that on any computer, man. Or people, like they put assholes in charge of the, you know, internet, basically, that take all the money from the internet companies and say that data is a limited finite resource that we're using up, and that we're going to run out of data if the big corporations don't save us from ourselves by limiting and slowing us down.
I mean, is when did data become a natural resource?
I don't know, man, but that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of people that believe that, because that's what Ari, or whatever his name was, that was the head of the commission in charge of the internets, when he put in eliminated net neutrality. Wow. Because he got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars from, like, all the communication companies
to say stupid shit.
Yes. So.
Oh my god.
But yeah, man. And then I know, because I know, like you said, a lot of the companies are going towards that, the streaming as a service, as opposed to selling physical copies, which GameStop fucking hates.
Yeah, they do.
As they're burning, their stock value is burning, literally.
It's on fire. Luckily,
well, have you walked into a GameStop recently?
Not.
Within the last, like, 6 months to a year, have you walked into a GameStop?
Yeah.
I mean, if you notice, like, the front half of the store is, like, stuff from ThinkGeek or Pop Figures.
It is true. It seems like they're trying to get into other aspects, other businesses, to stay relevant.
Right, because they bought ThinkGeek hoping that would keep them alive and relevant, and then they're like, hey, kids like the Pops. Let's sell the Pops.
Well, they do. They still have some gaming exclusives, though. I know, I think, like, sometimes, like, if you buy a game, you get certain, like, or if you pre-order a game from GameStop, you'll get, like, certain perks. Or,
right,
like, certain items. So it seems like they still have enough money to do that. But
I know one of the things, like, they announced a new Lego Star Wars game at E3, and it always seems like GameStop has an exclusive minifig to go with the game if you pre-order it through them.
Oh, nice.
So,
I mean, yeah, I think it's only a matter of time. I think GameStop will be a dead company probably in the next 5 to 10 years.
I say 5 years, not 10. I won't give them that long.
Yeah, I think it's going to be.
Unless they change drastically.
Yeah, I think I think it's going to really determine if we're going to get disc on the next generations of games. Which I think we will. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're to the completely digital. I think from when Xbox One and PlayStation 4 originally released, the world was really not ready. I don't think it's ready yet. But I think more and more people are buying digital. The only thing that sucks, though, about buying digital is just how much space it takes. Like, I have a terabyte or 2 terabyte extended hard drive on my PS4 and my Xbox One just because of this.
Right, I was going to say, like, if they want to do the digital purchases only, there's two things that suck. One is, as you mentioned, this hard drive space, but the other is when the digital goes on sale, it never goes on sale for as cheap as you can get the physical copies.
That is true.
Because I'll pick up games for, like, less than $10, you know, and they're still, like, almost full price digitally. And it's like, but you're not selling a physical copy of anything. Like, it's not costing you any money extra, you know?
Yeah. That is true.
So I have a I've progressed in Gaze Gone. I thought I was closer to finishing, dude, but this game, instead, I thought I was like almost done. Instead, I went to a whole new area. And they did one of those things where it was like, hey, if you go south into this new area, just make sure, like, you're not going to be able to come up here for a while. Make sure you complete as many, all your quests and do whatever you want to do up here before you go down there, because shit might change also.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead and go down there. So, oh man. But as I've been playing, here's some things I've been, like I guess a more in-depth review.
Yeah.
Like, as you're driving around, like, riding around on your motorcycle on the game, there are, like, these blue marks will pop up. And they're, like, points of interest. That could be anything from there being like a horde of zombies, which is basically just like a giant mob.
Yeah.
So they're like letting you know that there's one there if that's your first time in the area. Or there could be like people that have like a hideout base or a sniper thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or there could be hostages that you need to rescue.
Okay.
I mean, it's like there's a bunch of different options, but the problem is though is they're kind of timed. So if you're like kind of far away and it's a pain in the ass to get to them, by the time you get there,
it's gone.
And you just wasted that gas and time to get there.
Perfect.
And another thing that really annoys me about this game is the locked doors.
What about them?
So there's like doors where like you can walk in and out fine, and then there's doors that are locked and you can unlock with your knife. Like you can basically pick the lock.
Yeah.
And at one point, like, I was trying to get in this house because there was something there I needed to do, and the front door was locked.
Okay.
So I went around to the back, and there was, like, an opening I could get in. And then I went to the front door to get out, and he, like, just turned the knob, and it's like, oh, the door's locked. I need to get it. I need to, you know, I can't get out this way. And it's like, but I'm inside. How can I be locked inside? A. And B, why isn't this, now that I'm inside, why can't I pick this lock as opposed to other locks?
Yeah. Game physics, man. Game physics.
Right. So it's just lazy or dumb or something, I don't know, but that's, I mean, again, I'm more nitpicking, and like the main character,
mm-hmm.
there's this quest line where you're trying to find out what happened to your wife, and you partner up with this guy that's working with the government.
Yeah.
And you basically like find him and bribe him, or not necessarily bribe him, but hold him at gunpoint to force him to help you.
Gotcha.
And as you're working with him, he's like, hey, like, I can't blow my cover because we're both gonna die. So I can't talk right now. And then you start yelling at him through the radio. It's like, hey, why aren't you answering me? And it's like, he literally just told you why he can't help you. Like, do you not understand what keeping this a secret means?
It's hard, man. Come on, it's hard.
But two of the things they do really good in this game that I enjoy is the weather effects. Because it takes place in Deschutes County, Oregon. And so it's like, it rains a lot, and the rain looks really good, and there's mountainy areas where you go through, and it starts snowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really good, like the graphics and stuff.
Okay.
And then there's like different camps, and so each camp is basically its own like world. It's not even its own city. And so you do missions for them, like bounty hunt stuff or tree quests,
mm-hmm.
and they pay you in their own currency.
Oh, wow, nice.
So you can't, like, you have like credits at each camp. Right now, I'm like, because I've gone south, there's 5 camps.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like Fallout where the bottle caps are the universal economy. It's almost like I said, each one is its own country.
Okay.
And they kind of hate each other too. And they also like, they're like, all right, well, don't go up there because that's their area. And they're very like aware of each other's boundaries.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool that they're not trying to force like a bottle cap economy or something like that. It's like each camp pays you in credits, and then you can go and buy upgrades or weapons and stuff.
Okay, nice.
And I know when this game came out, a lot of people were complaining that it was just another boring white main character. But then, you know, some of the stuff they do to this guy, I don't think would work if it was, especially if it was a woman. Like there's a scene where you're riding around with your brother-in-law, basically,
mm-hmm.
and you're basically moping about your wife because you think she's dead, but you're not sure, and you find information and whatever, and he ends up just beating the shit out of you.
Oh, wow.
And, like, fighting you, and, like, they pick each other up, and then they, like, you good? And it's like, that would never happen with women. Women can't, like, take a punch, can't punch each other and, like, get up and, like, make a joke about it.
I like how he fights you so you get your mind off of it.
Yes. Quit being a little bitch. And she's just, and it's his sister, so it's not like he doesn't care, you know what I'm saying?
But, yeah.
And then, you know, like, there's a scene where, like, he basically gets a blowtorch taken to him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, that people would complain if that happened to a woman. So, I mean, I understand, like, there are a lot of, like, games with plain white, you know, because, like, Horizon Zero Dawn,
mm-hmm.
you know, not a dude.
Yeah.
But this one, I guess, without changing the story, they couldn't have changed the character, right?
Yeah. No, I got you.
So, Sean, this is our big E3 wrap-up show.
Oh, boy. I'm glad that you're ready for that.
I've been ready. My body has been ready. But,
I was going to say, are any of us really, like, super happy about E3? I just feel like there's just, like... It's like the local. It's like when somebody tells you the local high school team like won a football game. You're just like, okay, cool. That happened. That's a thing.
Right. You know, like, because at E3, you get one of two things from the games. You get a super fancy cinematic trailer, which looks awesome and makes, you know, cinematic trailers makes every game look awesome, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or you get. And you know, at some point they'll actually stream gameplay footage, but 99% of the time that gameplay footage is alpha footage,
mm-hmm.
which probably won't even end up in the final, might not even end up in the final cut, you know?
Yeah.
But I know everyone's got, you know, I guess this is our obligatory summary of E3, but we're not going to necessarily talk about the games because everybody does that. But I wanted to bring up Twitch streamer Dr. Disrespect, Sean.
What about them?
He, I mean, his name is Dr. Disrespect, and there's, so you already know what kind of an asshole he is. It's in his name.
Yeah. So basically, he's not gonna have anything positive to say about anything.
It's not even what he said. I know he's had drama in the past on Twitch with his wife and different stuff, but so at E3,
mm-hmm.
he decided to take his live, as he was live streaming, walking around the convention floor, mm-hmm. he thought it would be an awesome idea to walk into the bathroom.
Oh, boy.
And apparently, in California, that's illegal. And the Dr. Disrespect fanboys came to his defense. Like, well, he's not from California. He might not know the law. And it's like, that might be something you might want to either at least, like, Google real quick. Is it illegal to record in the bathroom in California?
But I feel like that's just something, like, that's illegal everywhere. I didn't realize it was only a California thing.
Right. That should be... I mean, if it's not illegal, it's at least, like... respectful. Well, he's disrespect. Doctor dis. He's not even like disrespectful, but he's so good at it. He's gotten his doctorate at it.
Fair enough.
So when the officials found out about that stream, he was immediately both kicked out of and banned from E3 for the remainder of the conference.
Oh boy, that sounds like a waste of time.
I mean, I guess you know. Again, like I said, E3 seems like a giant waste of time, so the fact that he's being talked about, it worked. No news, you know, any publicity is good publicity.
Pretty much.
I mean, because when the three biggest things people are talking about E3 is the fact that when John Barenthal came out to talk about his role in the new Tom Clancy game, and he brought a dog out that just mm-hmm. slept next to him on the stage. And then during the Bethesda conference, this lady came out and was just super excited about and nervous about presenting her game.
Mm.
That she basically became meme-worthy.
Oh, really?
And then when they did the Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay trailer and revealed that Keanu was in it.
Yeah.
And then he came out. Those seem to be like the only three things that like people came out of E3 agreeing that was positive. all the memes. And apparently that's all people want anymore on the internet is just memes.
Pretty much.
They don't even care about the news. They just want things that can give them the memes. But the dog was super adorable. At one point, John Barenthal was talking about the game and the dog, like, took its head off its own paws and put its head on John Barenthal's foot and was, like, sleeping. And so he could only move, like, one foot as he kind of, like, quote-unquote, like, pivoted around. He couldn't walk around the stage. He could only kind of pivot
mm-hmm.
for a while so he didn't disturb the dog.
Oh man. So the girl was presenting her game basically.
Yes. Yes.
And basically, what, she, like, freaked out up there or something?
Well, she was just talking about how nervous she was and how she, like, she kept apologizing for her poor English, even though she spoke better English than even I at this point. I mean, if you just go to YouTube and just, like, put in the search E3 lady, she'll pop up.
It's, yeah.
That's how, like, they know what you're looking for. That's how much she was searched.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably better. I mean, I'm sure Bethesda probably could have easily had a worse E3, so, like, last year. So, basically, like...
Was last year Bethesda Land, or was that the year before?
I can't remember. Maybe it was just, like, everybody was, like literally on their knees asking for some more Fallout 76, and then they sure got the disappointment later on that year.
Well, they've announced that they're, like, working on the game. They're going into full No Man's Skyland, where they're actually adding NPCs to the game and mm-hmm. fixing a lot of the things that people wanted.
Yeah.
But I know when they did Bethesda Land, people still bring that up and shit on it, and I'm like, that was... Maybe it wasn't the best idea, but it was better than just a boring, normal presentation. It was actually, they tried to make it fun, as opposed to just, like, Microsoft, where, like, the guy comes out and says, here's all our games, and it's 2 hours of trailer after trailer after trailer.
Yeah.
Which is why I love Devolver Digital, Sean.
What is that? Explain to us, what is that?
So Devolver Digital is basically an independent, smaller studio, and they actually have an ongoing story arc over mm-hmm. the last 3 years of their E3 presentations. So, like, at the end of last year, some guy came out with, like, a minigun and just started shooting everybody, and so this one opened up RoboCop style, where they were trying to save the life of their CEO.
Yeah. So, wait, so, like, it was, like a Nerf gun or something?
I don't know. It was, like, all, like, special effects.
Oh, wow.
And so basically, like, they pretty much make fun of
E3. Yeah.
And then this year they've added to the list of things they make fun of, the Nintendo Directs and, like, now the Sony Directs.
Oh, man.
Because they're talking about how, like, in their presentation, like, the intro video, they're talking about how nobody does press conferences anymore. They do the Directs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the CEO, like, they tried to make RoboCop, but it didn't work, so they did the presentation in her mind. And so it pops up, and this guy's like, yeah, the things that we're developing with the games being developed in our Direct. And he was just, and she looked over him, he's like, yeah, this isn't a thing, and just basically ripped his throat out.
Wow.
And so she was programmed like the lady that wanted to do it, the Directs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because she went out of her way not to swear, like, she'd call people frickholes.
Oh, nice.
And so then, but the CEO, like, just super swears, like, during the presentation. And so, and this year she couldn't swear, because the lady who did the swear wrote her program, and she was getting pissed about the fact she couldn't swear. She's like, I can't frickin' swear. This is, you know, bull hockey, you know? It was pretty funny.
What games do they even make? Is there anything, like, we would know?
I mean, they're all, like, independent games. Like, I know, like, Hotline Miami is one of their franchises. Nothing really major.
Is it all, like Steam, like, games?
Steam games, or just, like, and there's some coming on PlayStation 4 and Switch, but they're, like, the marketplace-only games.
Gotcha.
But it's definitely a studio, like, you might want to look into at least supporting a little bit, maybe buy a couple of their games. Definitely Google and YouTube's Devolver Digital Big Press Conference 2019.
Fair enough.
But then, the only one press conference I watched live, Sean, was mm-hmm. Square Enix.
Of course you did. I'm not surprised.
I mean, and I missed the big announcement at the beginning, which was their Final Fantasy remake. Finally got a release date of March 2020.
I was going to say, it sounds like we got a lot of release dates on some of the big. I'm looking, if you Google, I'm on Entertainment Weekly's.
Yes.
15 best announcements and trailers, and it seems like there's a lot of games finally have some dates on them.
I mean, right.
Even and Cyberpunk even has one for April 16th of 2020.
Right, and it's weird. It seems like the games are either coming out, like, September or October this year, or, like, March, April of next year. That seems to be, like, the grouping of all the games.
Pretty much.
But as I was watching Square Enix, man, on Twitch,
yeah,
dude, the chat was horrible. Because it's a, you know, it's a Japanese game that's basically made their all of their money off of Japanese role-playing games. Because, again, in Japan, they just call them role-playing games because they're Japanese.
True. But, I mean, it makes sense why we call them JRPGs out here, though.
Right. And so, as they're giving that press conference, everyone just was wanting the Avengers game to be, and it's like they should have started with that, and then you could have got rid of all this, the scrubs, and then did the Final Fantasy at the end. It almost would have been better.
Yeah, because that's fair.
Like, as press conference is going on, they a game trailer would come up, and it's like, oh, this isn't the Avengers; it's just another stupid weeb game.
Wow.
And it's like, so you're calling the Japanese weebs now because they're in Japan?
Yeah, that's dumb.
And I thought a weeaboo was someone who only like based what they knew about Japan culture off of anime, and they thought that was Japan was better because the anime was awesome. Right?
Yeah.
Not someone who plays like Final Fantasy and maybe like, watches like, anime here and there as a, you know.
Yeah.
That now that classifies you as a weeb. But they did have one game, Outriders, that's basically a more looks more serious Borderlands game, and of course people are shitting on that in the chat. Oh, just another looter shooter. but the graphics look good. The gameplay looked, I mean, at least the trailer. Again, like I said, the trailer makes everything look good.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to.
Right. But it's like a 1-3 player drop-in, drop-out co-op game.
Okay.
That looks kind of interesting. I might look into that and see what as more information comes out. But, man, you should have heard the air fly out of the room when they finally, like, did the Avengers trailer, Sean.
All the American weebs.
Exactly. That's what somebody said. It's like, you're complaining about the Japanese games, but isn't Avengers just weeb shit for Americans?
Yeah, pretty much.
But they chose, I don't know if it's wisely or poorly, not to use the character models from the movies for the game. And that was immediately, people were like, who the fuck are these characters? That's not Captain America. I know what Captain America looks like. This art is shit. And I'm like, well, apparently you've never seen Rob Liefeld. This isn't shit. if you're listening to this and you don't know what I'm talking about, just pause and Google Rob Liefeld, L-I-E-F-E-L-D, Captain America. Like, he has, like, chicken legs with, like, this giant barrel chest. It's just the worst proportions ever.
Was he angry like, somebody when he did that?
I don't know. Somebody did a character, like a mock-up of like what Captain America's skeleton would look like with that body. And his ribs look hilarious. But the game looks pretty awesome. Like, it takes place, like, I don't know when it takes place, but basically you're in, like, on the West Coast in San Francisco, and they're celebrating Avengers Day. Some aliens or whatever attacks, and Captain America gets killed.
Gotcha.
And then it seems to fast forward time, but I don't know how much time. And basically, the Avengers have split off, and you know, Tony, of course, Tony and Bruce, the super science best friends, are together.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that they're saying that this game is one of those that's gonna games as a service kind of thing, where over the years they're gonna add more characters and more storylines and stuff. So mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see who they add from what universe and how. It interacts, and if you're actually going to get to play one of the Avengers, or if you're going to get to play as a person that has powers that wants to join the Avengers or whatever.
Oh my god, dude, this is such gold.
What are you looking at?
The Rob Liefeld Captain America. It's so bad.
You've never seen that?
No.
Oh my god, dude, yes, it's the worst. Like, and the thing is he created Cable and Deadpool?
Mm-hmm.
But he can't draw for shit.
like he can only build like randomly muscle guys. Like, where are these muscles even coming from?
Right, and they talk about how he can't draw feet.
Yeah.
So basically, like almost all of his characters from like the 3/4 build or half, but like the bust or just like from the knees up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good times.
But yeah, so apparently most of the people that were looking for the Avengers don't know anything about the comics. They just are fans of the movies. And that wouldn't be a bad thing if they didn't, if they thought their the movies was all the knowledge they needed to know everything about the comics and the comic book world.
Of course they don't. Silly, silly American weebs.
Right, because every comic has different art style. Every, you know, depends on the artist. So, and I'm actually happy they didn't do the movie art, because that definitely sets it, makes it very, very, very clear that this is its own universe and is no way tying into the MCU in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Because if they did, like, the Robert Downey Jr. looking Iron Man or the Chris Evans Captain America, then people would be wanting it to tie into the MCU.
Yeah.
And be disappointed when it wasn't.
No, it makes sense.
So I'm glad. So I just wanted to touch on the Microsoft press conference real quick, Sean.
What about it?
They announced their next console.
It's codenamed something, right? They don't even have a name for it.
Project Scarlet.
Yep, that's right.
And I mean, it's basically, the stats wise, it's very similar to the PlayStation 5 or whatever they're going to call it when it comes out. I mean, it would make sense for it to be called the 5 because they're actually logical in their numerical order.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some people are joking that they're probably going to call this one the Xbox 2 or something just random now, because, like, just throw out a random number, like the 720 or the 800 or something, because chronological order has nothing to do with names and for them.
They don't care about naming.
No. But I was sent, and you watched the, I was sent an interview by a friend of the show, Manthing, that I sent to you, and I was actually happy you watched. I didn't, miss, I was thinking about it after I sent it to you that I should have made it more clear for you to watch it as opposed to, hey, perhaps you could watch this?
Technically, I listened to it while I was playing Destiny, because I was in a point of just, you know, if you ever played an MMO, there's some grinding where you don't really need to think about it. You just do it. So it was, like, a good time to, like, put on background noise to listen to.
No, I was playing Days Gone, and just, like, anytime I got to a point where I actually had to pay attention, I would pause it and then kill things and then jump back on the motorcycle and run right around, listen to the interview. So, I mean, it was two dudes sitting on chairs. It's not like you missed anything.
Wait, was it a couch? A black couch?
It was like a chair and a couch, yes. So, but like some of the, like, you know, people still hold the initial launch Xbox One press conference when they kept talking about all the non-game shit that the Xbox One could do against Microsoft. And then they replaced that dude with Phil.
Yeah.
And, you know, listening to Phil, it's very obvious that Phil is someone that plays games and wants people to just enjoy playing games, right?
That is true. I thought one of the things I really liked about him is he wants to have better sales than Sony, that he calls the guys in blue or the blue box guys, not because they suck, but because they just were able to produce a better product. They both sold more systems and games that they wanted to, but they sold more Xbox because it was better. Like, that's his kind of mentality about gaming and the competition. He wants there to be competition. You could really tell he doesn't want, like, Nintendo and Sony to go under, because he really thinks, like, the competition is healthy.
Right, and he said that there's more gamers now than there ever have been, and he said that, to be more exact, he said that it's not like he, you know, doesn't want to win. He wants to sell however many PlayStation sells plus one.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want them to go out of business, because there's enough. And it's like, you know, they're both selling more than they ever have sold in the past. They're breaking records, but he wants to break that record better.
Yeah.
But that makes sense, because he's a businessman. I mean, he's very honest, almost to a fault. Yeah. But I also appreciate the fact that he knows that some assholes are going to take whatever he says out of context and try to spin it. And so he's very careful with his words, and not because he's trying to protect or spin corporate PR, but because he just doesn't want his words taken out of context and used against him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there was a couple points where he was asked a question. He's like, wait, let me think about how to word this.
Yeah.
Because he knows people are also hanging on every word that he says. And it's like, if he says something like, oh, Phil said this, that means this must be true. And it's like, that's not what I meant. I should have said it this way.
Yeah, exactly.
And he talked about, he joked about how, like, he's, you know, wants to do more crossplay, because, again, as he said, it's like, you know, your parents buy you an Xbox, and then your friend's parents buy you the blue box.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but you're friends, and you want to play games together. That's, you know, there's enough gamers, and there's enough things being sold that shouldn't be an issue anymore. We're past that point of technology. So Everyone's talking about how Microsoft is, like, losing, and that's why they're willing to cooperate, but I think it's more because this guy's in charge now, as opposed to whoever was in charge before.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But, yeah, and one of the things he did say was that the Project Scarlet is not going to be their last console.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, like, that we're not to the point of just full stream mode or anything in this close into the future.
Right, and who knows, maybe Scarlet might be the last console, like you said, that takes physical discs, and the next one might just be a streaming thing like Roku for gaming.
Yeah.
To steal a term that I learned from another podcast, Goku, a gaming Roku.
Oh man, that's funny.
But you know, like reading the post E3 comments, man, almost everything that was negative said about anything really had nothing to do with the games itself. It was more people's, I guess, like just shitting on things that they already were planning on shitting on. Like, you know, people are talking about how Bethesda's presentation sucked because they spent a lot of time talking about 76, and it's like, but that's important to them, and they're actually working to make it better, and they're giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish, especially in the game community, with how many different games there are, if a studio doesn't make a game you want to play, like, can you just let other people enjoy it? Because anytime somebody defended a game company or said something positive about a game on Reddit, some of the threads I was reading, they're immediately called out as being, like, a corporate shield and being asked how much they're being paid to make that positive comment, or if they're just a bot.
I think that's just in general online anyways now. Because I think of, like, people that say something nice about Destiny about some... Like, there'll be, like, a subreddit that says, hey, I really like this new thing that Bungie's doing. And then in the comments is usually, they still screwed up this. You know, it's always seems to be negative online.
Right. And in a real world, there's nothing... Nothing's perfect. You know, people shit on the DCEU movie because they suck. But if you actually, like, sit back and take your, like, fanboy or nostalgia out of the Marvel movies, they're not perfect either, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and for the Project Scarlet, they announced that the next Halo game, Halo Infinite, would be a launch title.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That makes sense.
And he kind of talked about, Phil in the interview talked about that, about backwards compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think, it's not a thing of Microsoft changing their tune for no reason. I think it's because of him. But it's like, you know, you buy the next console and you pack up the old one, put it away, and then you play the two games that were launched with that console.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you pull back out the old console and you plug it in again anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Especially so, for a while.
Right. And he said that they've come out with their last update patch of backwards compatible games between the Xbox One and the Xbox 360 because he pulled that team off and put them on this Scarlet project already. Like, the console doesn't come out till next year, and the backwards compatibility team is already working on it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes out console-wise. It'll be interesting to see I know Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft at least seem to be kind of working together. He said he really respects and appreciates Nintendo for what they do. One of the things that seems cool that Microsoft is doing is their streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
There's a price point of $15, which is the highest.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you their gaming the streaming service for both the Xbox and the PC. And Xbox Gold for that month.
Nice.
Which, shit, if you have the bandwidth, that's the hell of a deal, man. Like, you can play new games all the time and not have to worry about buying a new game. For $15 a month, if you play one game a month, you know, because Gold by itself is like $7 a month if you pay monthly.
I mean, you make a fair point, and you know, if you beat a new game every month, it basically it pays for itself.
More than
because like a game is still like $60. So if you beat a $60 game every month, hell, even if the game is what we'll just say is like 3 months old, and it's $30 in stores, I mean, you're still making out like a bandit.
Yes, and you know, and the cool thing about that is, and he even brought it up, well, there's games that he wanted to play, but he didn't want to make the commitment of buying.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this game looks interesting, I'll give it a shot. And you play, whether you play a half an hour of it, or 20 hours of it, or more, or you beat the game, at least you know how you feel about the game, and it's not an investment. You don't have to worry about wasting your money.
Yeah.
So, are there any games that you're looking forward to, Sean? I know we're, not like those other girls subreddit.
I'm looking forward to Shadowkeep. Yay. I guess I'm still like looking forward to the Destiny stuff. Cyberpunk I think should be pretty interesting. I think you know, I always heard Witcher's a great series, and so I imagine that even without Keanu Reeves like jumping into the game, I think Cyberpunk was going to be an entertaining game regardless, just because, you know, that gaming company doesn't really fuck around, and, you know, they take the time they need to put out a good game. So, I mean, I think that one will be something that'll be fun to play as well. Was there anything that you kind of stuck out to you?
I had already seen stuff pre-E3, but the fact that, I guess it was announced at E3 because of John Bernthal, the new Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally played, like, the first three back on, like, the Xbox 360 when it was, like, early in the day. Actually, not even Xbox 360, the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
That's how long ago it was that I played these games. The fact that they're good games anyways, and I'll pretty much consume anything with John Bernthal in it.
Yeah.
He just needs to make that porno, and then my life will be complete. No. and of course, you know, Lego games.
Yeah.
I'm a weeb for Lego games.
I want to be excited for the Star Wars game, but I just can't be excited because it has EA's name on it.
Right. I'm very cautiously optimistic. I think they're slowly learning. Like the differences between Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 2 were leaps and bounds. So I'm only hoping that they've learned their lesson from whatever they fucked up in Battlefield 2, and don't do that in the new game.
Yeah,
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order is supposed to be a single player game, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can still fuck it up by putting EA microtransactions where you like shit that shouldn't be hidden behind paywalls are.
Do you want a green lightsaber? Pay $5.99 for this special bundle and get a green lightsaber.
Well, no, it's more a thing of like, hey, you keep dying on this mission. Do you want to like do it without dying? Pay $5.99. And then your character, you'll get an OP character.
True. I mean, you're right. We'll see. I mean, the nice thing is it comes out this year, so hopefully maybe it'll be good and we'll want to play it. Well, you'll want to play it after your dead season is over. Your no life season.
Exactly.
It is kind of funny, though. I just remembered while I went and saw Godzilla, which will be a review for another show, there's a new trailer that came out. What's that guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, the wrestler?
Dave Bautista.
Okay. So basically, there's a movie about an Uber driver, and he's like some, like, it's the first time he's ever been an Uber driver, so he's super nervous. He's like a weird, nerdy, like, Asian guy. And then so he comes into the thing, and he's a cop, but it's almost like they removed his character out of Guardians of the Galaxy and just pasted it in this scenario. Except he's not an alien, he's just some cop with a goatee. And it's like the same dry-ass humor The movie, I'm sad to say, is actually was real. I was laughing pretty hard because there's some like ridiculous things that go on, but I was kind of like, I mean, I wasn't really surprised. Like everybody laughs at his character in that in the movies because they're so like so cold and just randomly funny when he says shit because he doesn't understand like human emotion. So I'm not really surprised that they put him in a movie.
I actually remember seeing the trailer and wanted to watch that movie. It looked like a better version of that movie that came out a few years ago with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, where Jamie Foxx is a cab driver and Tom Cruise got in the back of the cab and basically hired, like, held him at gunpoint, but also, like, was willing to pay him to drive him around to do, like, mafia hitman stuff.
Pretty much.
All right, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed our kind of, sort of wrap up of E3.
Exactly. Hopefully you guys check out some stuff. Make sure you go see Godzilla so you can join us on the talk. Maybe Danny will even go see it.
Oh my God. Godzilla?
Godzilla!
Did I do it right? That's like my favorite scene in the trailer when the guy's like, oh my God.
And somebody just yelled, Zilla.
Yes.
All right, everybody, make sure you catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook, Instagram, all those magical places. Stalk us. Stalk Danny mostly, not me. And we will see you next week.
Next week, everybody.